So yesterday we heard about the Tiruvathathaiyar Srimadvacharya, about his glories. Today is the disappearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya. So in the char, four Vaishnava sampradayas. There's Daitavad, Daitadvaita, Sudadvaita, and Vishishtadvaita. There's no Kevaladvaita there. See, in Shankaracharya's line, they follow this Kevaladvaita. In Madhvacharya, they follow this Daitavad. This philosophy of duality. Difference between Jiva and Jiva, Jiva and Brahma. Jiva and Maya, Maya and Maya, and Brahma and Maya. These five differences. They did not accept Abhed, oneness between the Jiva and Brahma. They have accepted this oneness between the Jiva and Brahma. But Ramanuja, he accepted this Vishishtadvaita, specialized monism. So real the Shravan Kirtan of his life, his glory, his specialities. So in the morning we heard from these leelas about Ramanujacharya that we heard. Instead of listening to the activities of Maya, at least we are listening to the glories of these great devotees. What else? In this world is very difficult, and unless being attracted by the allurements of Maya, one will speak Mayic subjects, worldly topics. But this Bhagavad Gita Kirtan is very rarely found in this world now. So now we listen to his glories, his specialities. So Ramanujacharya, he appeared in the Sri Sampradaya. The Sri Brahma Rudra, Sri Brahma Rudra Sanaka. These four Sampradayas, these four Vaishnava Sampradayas. In the Acharya Sri Sampradaya, this was Kali Yuga, was Ramanujacharya. So Ramanuja means how? He is the younger brother of Ram. Or was he the younger brother of Ram here? So here it is described that the Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, Mahalakshmi, Sri Devi, Bhudevi, and Leela. Sri Bhu Leela, the three Shaktis of Bhagavan. Say, Sri Shakti is Mahalakshmi Sarupini. And Bhushakti is Bhakti Sarupani Bhudevi. And Leela Shakti is all the Leelas of Bhagavan that are carried out by Leela Shakti. So when the Acharya, the Sri Sampradaya, he was thinking, who should we make the Acharya? So that time, they prayed to Bhagavan. Then Mahalakshmi, she prayed to Bhagavan. She said that in this world, we have to send someone who will who has love for you. And who will take the specialities of the spriti, prem, and attract everyone. And this way, they'll be allotted. They can be given the sevadhikar of being a dasanadas, servant of servant. So then Bhagavan himself, he was thinking, what to do? Who should I send? So Bhagavan has many leela avatars, guna avatars, mano avatars, avisha avatars, yuga avatars. He has many kinds of avatars. So if Bhagavan will not empower anyone, then no one can do any task. Even for the Nitya Parikars, still they are also empowered by Bhagavan. that the Shakti, how can they propagate? So Bhagavan was thinking, should I send my Parikars or my avatars? The avatars, they appeared many times. Still the darkness of Kali Yuga, no one accepts coming in this age. Very terrible age of Kali Yuga. This age is full of darkness. It's darkness of ignorance. See, in this world, if you speak lies, then people are happy. And you see, you go to the court, you see, even the sadhus, sometimes they'll go on the side of lies. No one will speak the truth. Everyone has a certificate of speaking lies. You see, one has to speak so many lies to cover a lie. In the end, they'll even say, this is the truth, speaking lies. So Bhagavan, he said, when I came in this avatar as Ram, that time I had this one sevak, my younger brother, Lakshman. Lakshman was such a staunch follower of this truth. When Meghanath was killed, then Meghanath's wife, she told Ravan, no one can kill my husband. Because anyone who followed Brahmacharya 14 years, who hasn't eaten anything for 14 years, and who hasn't even slept for 14 years, that only that person can kill my husband. So, how can you find such a person who has been a Brahmachari 14 years, hasn't slept 14 years, hasn't eaten anything 14 years? How can you possibly find this person? So, she said, let's go. I want to ask Ram, how did my husband die? Who is that person who has killed my husband? Has he really followed this vrata for 14 years? And Ravan said, you see, I will not go. You go yourself. She said, how can I go? So how can a lady go alone? Should I take some soldiers? And Ravan said, no, you go there, you'll be worshipped. Because Ram is not ordinary, Ravan said. Ram knows how to respect everyone, honor everyone. So if you go there, then you'll be respected very nicely, honored. And you cannot even imagine how munificent Ram is. He is not anyone's enemy. He is everyone's great friend. Then why are you fighting with him? Why have you become his enemy? Because Ravan, he wanted to become the Shaktiman himself. So he stole the Shakti away. If I kill the Shaktiman, then Shakti will be mine, then I'll become the Shaktiman. So Ravan, he knew how glorious, how great Ram was. He said, alright, you go. But Ravan, he hid his intentions to this wife of Meghanath. And when Meghanath's wife came, all the monkeys, they lowered their heads down. They all lowered their heads down and they folded their hands and they made way for her to meet Ram. When she came near Ram, she said, I have come near you. You see, I'm like your daughter, like your younger sister. So I'm in your Anugatya. So I have a question. He said, then what is the question? You see, your brother, this Lakshman, did he follow his vrata for 14 years? Did he not eat anything for 14 years? Not drinking any water, nothing. Did he follow his brahmacharya for 14 years? Didn't he sleep even for 14 years? Then she asked Lakshman. Then Ram asked Lakshman, oh my brother, you should answer her. Then Lakshman, he said, it's true what she's saying. 14 years, you see, I've never eaten anything. Not even a single grain of rice. Then Ram said, but still I gave you my remnants every day. What do you do with those remnants? He said, oh, Dharo Lakshman, just take this, you'd say. But you never told me to eat this. You only told me to keep it. So how can I eat your remnants without you ordering me to eat them? I'm your surrendered Das, younger brother, King Kaur. So they say, you told me to take it. But then you didn't tell me to eat it. So then how could I eat? Then where are all those remnants? Then he said, I've tied all of those remnants in bags on the branches of trees. You can see yourself. and then whole night I never slept. And then he also said, I never even saw the face of woman. Then, haven't you ever seen the face of Sita? He said, never. I haven't seen any part of her body except her lotus feet. You see, when I'd be walking on the streets, I'd only see what was like 1.5 feet up in front of me. I never see anything more than that. Shurpanaka Taraka Somni. Of them came, but still he didn't look at their faces. So then Ram, he sent Hanuman, go and look in the forest in Dandakaranya. There he saw Lakshman had tied all these remnants of Ram in pouches, in bags, and tied them to the branches of all the trees. So then Ram, he told Meghanath's wife, if you want, I can bring your husband back to life. I can give him life again. He said, no. Just by seeing you and also by my husband, when he was dying, he looked at you. So he's already achieved liberation. So she said, no, I want to be with my husband. So now I will take the head of my husband and I'll enter into the fire. This is called Sati. And the wife, she enters into the fire to be with her husband. So then Ram said, you can ask for any blessing, I'll give it. And she said, only give me this one blessing, that life after life, I can serve my husband and be with him. And then she entered into the fire. So Bhagavan himself said, then Lakshman is a very glorious Sevak. He has such patience, tapasya. He delivered the entire world. He has anugatya. And he has all kinds of good qualities, qualification. See how Lakshman. Sita ji, she spoke such harsh words to Lakshman. She said, oh, I'm very sad. Therefore, I had to be separated from Ram. And I had to go live in the forest of Valmiki. Because Ram and Lakshman, they're Satya Pratikya. They always uphold the truth. You see, Sita spoke such harsh words to Lakshman, but still Lakshman drew the Lakshman Rekha. But still she came out of this Lakshman Rekha, this barrier, and then Ravan took her away. Or else Ravan could not even touch her. And then one day, in Ayodhya, one person, he came to Ram and he said, oh Ram, I have to speak some secret things to you, but no one should be here, he said. I'll have to speak to you in a solitary place. But no one is there. Ram said, all right. Then someone should guard this place. Then he called Lakshman. He said, Lakshman, he said, no one should come and disturb our conversation. And if anyone enters inside, then I'll take that person's life away. So they say this condition was set. And his life will be taken away. So no one can enter inside. And then Ram, he went inside. He was speaking to that person. The doors were closed. And Lakshman was guarding outside. He was giving guard. And all of a sudden, hey, Durvasa Rishi, he came. So Durvasa Maharshi, he came there. So Durvasa Rishi is, you know, he's very temperamental. So he called Lakshman, come here. He said, oh Gurudev, I want to meet Ram, he said. I said, oh, please wait for some time. I said, I'll arrange this park, asan, everything, just kindly wait. He said, no, let me go see Ram. I said, destroy the entire, this line of Ram. And Lakshman was thinking, okay, Ram will only take my life away, but I cannot let the family be destroyed, this entire line. Suryavanshis. Then Durvasa again started shouting so much. He said, you're giving me so many problems in meeting Ram. He said, Jaya Vijaya did the same thing to the four Kumaras. And because they disobeyed the four Kumaras, they became demons. And you're doing the same thing, not letting me meet Ram. No, Lakshman, he was thinking of what to do. So then he opened the gate, Durvasa went inside and he told Ram, Ram, I'm very hungry, give me something to eat, he said. And then that person who Ram was speaking to, he disappeared. So that was Kalpurush, time personified. So then Ram, he was very sad, what happened? Then he wouldn't look at Lakshman, he wouldn't speak to him. Then he called his Guru Vasishtha. He said, I'll give this Pranthanda, I'll take Lakshman's life away. Now what should I do? He's my brother now. What do I do? Then Vasishtha, he said, just leave him, abandon him for the rest of his life. You see, to abandon your near and dear one is like death itself. So you renounce him as your brother. Don't kill him, but. Then Lakshman, he left Lakshman then. So Lakshman was thinking, if he has abandoned me, if he's renounced me, then what is the use of my life? Oh, my only life is service to Ram. So Ram renounced him then. And then Lakshman, he entered into the Saryu River. And then he entered into this eternal Saket. Ayodhya Dham. And say, Ram became very sad then. But see, no, you cannot stall that which is going to happen. That which is inevitable is bound to happen. So Lakshman, he said, you see, Durvasa was hungry, I could have fed him myself. Why did he have to go tell Ram? But you see, this is Kal. This is time. No one can do anything. Then Ram, he said, this is Vaikuntha Adhipati. If Lakshman, if he's sent to this world, then what Maya? What can Maya do? Nothing. And this way, he will make everyone attend the lotus feet of Sri Bhagavan. He'll reinstate everyone in their position. In their position of servitude to Sri Ram. So that way, Yamunacharya, he was preaching bhakti. All the alvars, Nathuni, all these alvars, they were preaching. And now Yamunacharya was thinking, he has many disciples, Gostipurna, Kanchipurna, Shailapurna, Mahapurna, he had so many. But he was not happy. He desired this bhakti be preached everywhere, this Vaishnava Dharma. In this world, Bhagavan, there should be a place for Bhagavan in this world. There should be a Vaikuntha Param in this world as well, where Bhagavan can be received. And by having this darshan, the entire world can be made pure. We are doing so much tapasya, we are performing our worship. But what are we doing for Prabhu? If in this life, if in this world, we are always making so many arrangements for ourselves, but can we not make a small place for our Prabhu, for Bhagavan? So Yamunacharya had this great desire in his heart. That in this world, everyone is trying to make a separate place for their own selves. Nice house, nice palace, and they're trying to make all varieties of enjoyment. But no one makes a temple for Sri Hari. They keep the names of their houses as Hari Mandir, Gopal Bhavan. But they say, Gopal is my... They say everyone is Gopal. You know, any person they come across. They say Gopal, Nepal, Apal, Chapal. Everyone. You see, although they named their places Gopal Bhavan, Hari Mandir, still. So there's no place for Bhagavan, then there's no place for his bhaktas as well. So then sansar is like narak then, it's like hell. And they make all arrangements and they make only hellish circumstances there. So suffering, untold suffering. So Yamunacharya, he desired that one temple for Sri Hari be established. And this Bhagavad Siksha Kendra, where this bhakti be taught to everyone. So that time, during his time, his grandfather and his father, he said, between two rivers, there's one demon who comes and worships one devata. So you go there and you serve him there. So then He was thinking, he was only a small boy, that Vibhishan, every time he's coming from Lanka, although he was a demon, still he would come and worship Ranganath. And his father and grandfather, when they came to Vrindavan, then they prayed to Yamuna Devi. Then, kindly bless us with a very nice devotee who can make a nice place for Bhagwan in this world, propagate bhakti and preach these bhakti shastras and give siksha and open these centers of education, spiritual education for everyone. And all these materialistic people have opened great, so many centers of enjoyment. So how can they be delivered from such enjoyment? And they say, they send, they make so many places for Bhagwan. Then there is no place to follow the Janmashtami, other festivals of Sri Bhagwan. So then Yamuna ji, she became very happy. So she said, alright, I'll pray to my Prabhu. And then according to everyone's desire, then this Ram Sevak, he will appear in this world. So Lakshman, he said, Prabhu, you send me here, but... And Sita Devi, she had this desire, Mahalakshmi. Then, if Lakshman will go, then so much preaching can be done. Everyone's hearts can be changed. And Lakshman ji, he said, I cannot do anything alone. So your Sevak Hanuman, he's there. He sent her Hanuman also. And for how many days? He said, alright, I'll call you back quickly, don't worry. Ram, he told Lakshman, but still you'll have to go to this material world to benefit all the jivas. So Acharya Ramanuj came. Then Yamunacharya, he had to... The Ramanujacharya's mother and aunt, they were disabled to Yamunacharya. So Yamunacharya, he heard that one son was born, so he named him Lakshman Desik. Then Sri Perambudur is present there in South India, the birthplace of Ramanujacharya. He appeared in this Brahmin family there. Every day he'd take this information. And from his very childhood, Ramacharya's childhood, he sent so many Vaishnavas. Sent Goshtipurna, he sent other Vaishnavas. They look after him. And Goshtipurna would come. He was from a Shudra Jati. But there is no consideration of Jatpat. But Yamunacharya, he was a Brahmin. And you see, they got these sevaks of Ranganath. There's Uttar Kaveri and Dakshin Kaveri. So Yamunacharya became very happy. So then Goshtipurna, he'd go and help Ramanacharya Lakshman Desik. And he sent Kanchipurna. Kanchipurna used to make garlands for Varadaraj. And he used to sing and dance in front of Varadaraj. Varadaraj used to be very happy with him. So Kanchipurna, he would come to Perambudur by Yamunacharya's desire. And then he'd bring Varadaraj's kheer for Lakshman Desik. He'd give Prasadi Mala of Varadaraj. And from his very childhood, Goshtipurna, anyone, any sadhus would come. Ramacharya, he'd feed them by his own hands and he'd take the remnants. And they say, there's so much problems in his family. They know he's from Shudra Jati. Just by wearing Tilak Mala, how has he become same as a Dharva Brahmin? And you're taking his remnants. It's not good. So then Ramacharya was saying, how can I change them? So then they sent him to study to Kanchipuram from Sri Perambudur. And Perambudur, he came here to Kanchipuram. And there is Vishnu Kanchi and Shiv Kanchi. Side by side. So there in Shivakanchi, Yadav Prakash, he was the guru of the Mayavadis. He was very qualified. He was a Pandit, very powerful intellectual. So Ramacharya's father, he sent him there. Because now if he's going to stay at home, then he'll also become like one of the sadhus. He's only serving sadhus the whole day, staying with them, listening to them. And this way he's putting tilak on, learning all these tostatis, Gita Bhagavad, reading the Vedanta, everything. Then he sent him there, Yadav Prakash. So then Yadav Prakash, he started speaking to him. So that time, he has so many sevaks there. You see, Govinda also was there, his nephew. And so many others were there. They were all studying there in that Gurukul of Yadav Prakash. So then he used to serve Guruji in such nice ways. He would massage him with oil, and then massage him, bathe him, fan him, serve him in all ways. Guruji was very happy with him, saying, okay, where can I find such a qualified boy, like this boy? You see, in this way, even if one has all good qualities, then even if one, he will be very qualified if he can serve his Guru. So one day, when he was massaging his feet, fanning him, then one student, he came and he asked, hello Guruji, how are Bhagwan's eyes like? And he said, Kapyasam. He said, what is the meaning of this? And he said, Bhagwan's eyes are like... And he said, what is the meaning? And Yadav Prakash, he said, Kapi means monkey. And you see, behind of a monkey is red. So Bhagwan's eyes are like a monkey's behind. So then Lakshman Desi, when he had this explanation, he started weeping so much, he started crying. And you see these warm tears, they fell on, when he was massaging Yadav Prakash's feet, all these tears were continuously falling on his back. So why are you crying? He said, how can you even give such an explanation? That Bhagwan's eyes, Bhagwan, he has lotus-like eyes, and you're comparing his eyes to the band of a monkey. How can you even speak like this? Then he said, already you give an explanation. Then he said, that ka means water. You see, what is this? You see, the lotus is always frolicking on the surface of the water. So they say, Bhagwan's eyes are like the lotus flower. So Yadav Prakash, no, he was trembling. Then he was thinking, oh. And then he started teaching Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra. And all his explanations he'd explain from Shankaracharya's Sharirik Bhasha. And Ramacharya would cut all his arguments and then he'd explain proper purports in view of bhakti. And he was saying, oh, his boy, he's like a big thorn. He's a big enemy for Sampradaya. Now if this thorn will not be removed, then cause a great problem. He's like the axe that will cut down the very tree for entire dynasty, entire line. So if you don't do something with this boy, then he'll destroy our entire philosophy. So I said, alright, all of us, let's go. We'll go for some darshan, Brahman. Then he took all the students. Then they went to Varanasi from Vindhyachal. And then they went to Sakri. They said, after Vindhyachal, we'll return back to South India. Because there's only forests there. 6 months going, 6 months coming. Because they had to walk all the way from this Kanchipuram to North India. And they had to speak so much katha there on the way to all the people they met. So they said when there was a dense forest there, then Yadav Prakash, he told some of his students, Mayavadi students, tie him up, tie this Lakshman Desik up and throw him somewhere, he said. And then we'll tell someone when we return. Then he went to the forest and some lion ate him. Then he died. And then this thorn is gone away forever. And this Govinda, who was the nephew of Ramacharya, he was a Shiva Upasak. He was very near to Yadav Prakash. So he heard everything. And he told Ramanujacharya, he told Lakshman Desik. He said, alright, brother, you leave in the evening or else they're going to kill you now. So then you have to run away immediately. So in this evening, so when everyone are going there to bathe, put tilak on, do the sandevandan, taranik, then Namachara, he left immediately. And then he had to run through the forest, dense forest, thick forest. So Yadav Prakash, he asked the other boys, where is this Lakshman? They said, oh, he went to have a bath, yes, in return. Then he said, all right, good. Now there's no need for us to kill him. Now surely some animals will eat him and we won't be blamed for this. You know, no karma for us. Good, the thorn has gone away, he said. So in the middle of the night, there was a hunter with his wife. He was carrying a lantern. And then he said, why have you come here to this forest alone? He said, I'm going to Kanchipuram. He said, all right, we'll also take you to Kanchipuram. Come, we'll go there. So then, they were going in the front, leading the way, and Ramacharya was following them. They had the lantern in hand. So there, the wife of the hunter, she said, you see, we're forest dwellers. So I'm very thirsty, she said. So you see the well there, can you bring some water? I'm very thirsty. You see, this way, while coming to that place, he walked for 5 months. And there he came near this well, so how could he bring this water from the well? He needed some pot, some rope. So then what did he do? He took his uttariya, his dupatta, his upper cloth. And then he tied it in 2 knots. And then he took one stone and tied it in the middle. And then he lowered the cloth down. And then the cloth got wet. Then by the other side of the cloth, he put the cloth down. Then when the cloth was wet, he squeezed it. He squeezed the water in Lakshmi Devi's, in the hands of the lady. And then she drank the water. And then they said, now say Kanchipuram has come, now go. Ramacharya said, it's not even morning. How is it that I've come right near Varadaraja's temple? Kanchipuram. So Ramacharya said, well, Kanchipurna, not only making garlands for, you'd also bring water for bathing Varadaraj. In South India, there are only so many hills there. So there they make wells and they draw water from these wells. And the wells are the main source of water for them. Or else they have to take water from the Kaveri or Godavari. And this way the main source of water is the well. Sometimes they have this Narmada Tungabhadra. But still the main source is the well. And they bathe and cook using this water. So Kanchipurna in the morning, he saw Ramanujacharya. And he said that yesterday you gave water to Mahalakshmi. Then Ramacharya was thinking, who's Mahalakshmi? Then he said, all right, from now, every day you'll bring water from the well and you'll do this snana, abhishek, cooking, everything, using this water from the well. Then Varadaraj himself, Mahalakshmi, they came to bring you there. And now you stay. Now you don't stay here anymore. Now you go to Srirangam, Venkatachalam. There Yamunacharya is present there. He's waiting for you. And previously what happened? Yamunacharya is... from his childhood, he was always involved in this practice of bhakti. So they married him. Then his wife came. But his wife saw that he's serving Gostipurna, Shailapurna, Kanchipurna, Mahapurna. All these disciples of Yamunacharya, he would come and he'd serve all of them. And he'd take the remnants. So she became very upset. So one day, Gostipurna's wife, she was there and she insulted her very much. So Ramacharya would go every day to listen to Katha. Now he said, no need to stay here anymore. Now we'll leave now. What is the fault? They were drawing water from the same well. And Gostipurna's wife had also come. And there was like a big well. Anyhow, one drop of this water from her pot fell into her pot, and then she started abusing the other lady so much. Because they were very innocent, the other lady remained silent. But the other lady, she was from a very rich family. And Ramanujacharya also was very known, well known. He was a very good teacher. He had a gurukul. So then she started abusing the other lady so much. In the evening, Gustipurna and his wife, they were very sad. They said, "Now we're leaving now." And then they went to Ranganath there. They didn't say anything to Yamunacharya, because this is the dharma of a disciple is not to complain. He should learn to digest. He should not go and trouble Guru with these complaints. This is not the duty of a Shishya. Guru is Antaryami, he knows everything. So he didn't say anything to Yamunacharya what she had done. So then Yamunacharya, he saw, "Now I'll have to leave home now. Now the last stage of my samsara is coming now." So once when Brahmin, he came there, he was very hungry, very poor. So he told the teacher, Ramanujacharya, then he said, "I'm very poor, I'm very hungry, give me something to eat. Then you'll be very merciful on me. And I heard you're a great donor, you're someone charity." He said, "All right, you go to my house and tell my wife to give something to you, to something to eat, she'll give you." And when he came there, this Brahmin, then his wife, Ramanujacharya's wife, not just she abused him so much, then she shouted at him so much that, "Oh, I'm not your servant, that whenever you come here, I should just come and feed you." She spoke such harsh words to the Brahmin. And when the Brahmin came, then he said, "Have you eaten?" He said, "Yes, I've eaten for 10 lifetimes," he said. "Now I'll never eat again my entire life," he said. Then Ramanujacharya understood, "Oh, his wife has misbehaved with him." He said, "All right, just be a little merciful to me." Then he wrote one letter. And then he put one, and then he had one coconut and some betel leaves. And he had that tied by a red thread. And then he wrote that letter, and Ramanujacharya pretended to be his wife's father. And she said, "Oh, your brother is going to get married. You come home quickly. Don't delay. So 20 after is the marriage of your brother, come quickly." And he wrote this letter in the name of her father. And he sent these gifts, this coconut, his betel nut leaves. So then the Brahmin said, "Oh, your father has sent me this letter here, this invitation, he sent this coconut and all these things, bhograg." So then she said, "Oh," she became very happy, "Oh, my brother's going to get married." Then she sat the Brahmin down, then she washed his feet, and she gave him like so many types of prasad. She fed him so many different types of food. Then she put a chadar on him. She gave him dakshina. He said, "Oh yes, my husband is going to come now. So immediately, I will go with him to my father's house." And then she gave some dakshina to the Brahmin and she left. Then the Brahmin, he said, Ramanujacharya asked him, "Have you eaten nicely?" He said, "Oh, you should have done this before. First time I went there, she shouted so much at me. Now you have... She's fed me so nicely now. For like 1,000 births she's fed me. Such nice food." He said, "All right." Then Ramanujacharya, he went home. Then he saw his wife, she was very happy. She would never speak nicely, sweetly. But now she was very happy. She said, "Could you have come back home? Just some time before, my father, he sent me a letter. That he sent one invitation. And he sent so many things. And she also bought other belongings of her house." And she said, "Oh, see, my father sent so many things." She said, and I said, "All right." And then to your father's house. So you go now. So then he made her sit in a palanquin And then he's like some students, they carried this palanquin, and then he told the students, take her to the father's house. Then Ramanujacharya, what did he do? Immediately he left home. And he went where? To Srirangam. So far from Kanchipuram. Went walking all the way there. Then when he went to Srirangam, then he saw there was like very loud Sankirtan going on, tumultuous Sankirtan going on, a big procession was going on. So many Brahmins were there, Rishi Maharshis, Sadhus, everyone were there, doing Kirtan and crying. What happened? Then they said, just some time before, Yamunacharya has left now, this world. Then they said, alright. He said, oh, I wanted to meet him since so many years now. Or his glory since so many years. He called me to meet him, but still now I've come and he's left his body now. He said, I want to see him one last time. Let me have his final darshan. It is the duty of the Brahmins that if you carry someone on your shoulders, you see, and a sadhu leaves his body, the custom is that only Brahmins can touch him. And then the Brahmins will write the Samadhi Mantra, and then they will perform the last rites, like either burning his body, or putting his body in the river, or giving him Samadhi. So then they wouldn't like, so they're performing the final rites, but Ramanacharya requested. So they put Yamunacharya down, and there he had darshan of Yamunacharya, and they saw three fingers were closed. The left hand was open, wide open, but three fingers of his right hand were enclosed within his fist, within his palm. So Ramanacharya, he said, I accept him as my guru. Then may he accept me as his disciple. And then one finger opened. And then he said, I will fulfill his desire. And I will establish temples all over India. And I will preach this Bhagavad Bhakti. And the second finger opened. And then he said, third one, all the Bhakti Shastras that are present, that the Mayavadis have destroyed, I will publish all of them and preach them. The third finger opened, then everyone saw and they became very surprised. He has so many disciples, Mahapurna, Sailpurna, Kashipurna, Kanchipurna, there's so many he had. Very qualified. And all of them, they put this tilak on Ramanacharya, and we went there, Uttar Kaveri, not in the South Kaveri, but North Kaveri. There they bathed Ramanacharya, put tilak mala, new cloth. They did Arati, offered Boga, and then they also put Yamunacharya there in Samadhi by bathing him there in North Kaveri, putting fresh saffron cloth on him, tilak. They put him in Samadhi, and Ramanacharya started staying there. Because he said, now serve my Guru. So let me at least serve the Samadhi of my Guru Maharaj. So that time, Mahapurna, he was like his foremost disciple. So whatever desires his guru had, he'd always remember. So then he gave him all instructions. For 6 months, every six months, he'd go serve all his god brothers. Six months, he would serve each and every one of them. And then he received this mantra from Mahapurna. We had 19 times. You give me the instruction. He said, no. He rejected him 19 times. And the 20th time, he explained this mantra to him. And then when he explained this mantra, then Ramanacharya, he went there. There was a big market. And then he climbed to the top of the tower. And then he said, all of you come here. Guruji has given me a mantra. And all of you should chant this mantra with me. If all of you chant this mantra, then all go to Vaikuntha. You'll never have to suffer in this material world again. All the Vimanas will appear, his celestial airplanes, and take you all to Vaikuntha. When Guruji was saying, what has he said? I told him not to tell this mantra to anyone. And now he's going and distributing this mantra in the market there, to everyone. And on top of the tower. He said, come here. He said, oh, Gurudev, whatever. I told you not to say this to anyone. He said, so you'll go to hell now. He said, no harm. I'll go alone to hell. But those who have heard, they'll all be liberated. They'll all go to Vaikuntha. So it's good. Alone I'll go, but so many go to Vaikuntha. And Gurudev, we start laughing then. Because you see, one is Acharya, then he'll have to make disciples. He'll have to give his mantras. And they all will listen to him. They'll become his follower. His followers. So now he had so many disciples now. And then he went to the king. He told the king, you see, the king has made many things, but he has not made temples for Bhagwan. There are no ashrams, no place for Bhagwan. He said, all of you go there. And they all went to the king. And the king, he said, oh, I don't have time, I don't have wealth to make temples for hypocrites, pretenders. He said, I'll make dharmashalas, these clinics for health, goshalas, I'll repair the roads, I'll make wells, I'll do all these things. Why should I make temples? And Ramanujara, he said, all right. He won't give anything, he said, all right. Then he made three disciples. How were they? One disciple, he knew he could see what was beyond, like 10-20 kilometers. He has such vision that his vision could pierce everything. And he made another disciple. As a disciple, he could become smaller than fly. And he could enter through the holes, through the ventilators. He could enter anywhere and take everything away. And they say this treasury of the king was surrounded everywhere by a moat. It was surrounded by a moat so that no one could enter inside. So then the other disciple, he could steal everything away because he could walk on water. So one would walk on water and carry the other one on his shoulders, and the other one would enter inside, steal all the treasure, and this way all three disciples bring everything away. This way he stole the entire treasury of the king. Then they sent this message to Vishwakarma that now we'll have to make a temple for Bhagwan. You have to bring Vaikuntha here. So then, what did they do? They sent all these architects, and they all bought these stones, temples everywhere, and they made 108 temples. And the last temple is Tirupati, it's Tirumala, Balaji, Srinivasa's temple. And they made such nice temples. Even now, if you do Parikrama with 108 temples, then immediately you go to Vaikuntha. These temples are so opulent, so grand. In Ranganath and Srirangam, before it was a small temple. You see, he made these seven gates. He made a boundary. And then, after 2-3 kilometers, he made another perimeter. Listen, after 7 kilometers, he made another perimeter. Big, big walls. Even now, you will not find a temple with such high walls. He said, all the temples are built. And the king, he said, there's nothing in my treasury. Who stole everything? And then, he saw so many temples were built. And these temples had so many devotees serving Narayan. Harikatha was being spoken, Kirtan was being done. And the king, he was a Shaivite. He was a Chol Raja. So then, you see, his Brahmarakshas had caught his daughter. So then he called Yadav Prakash his guru. And Yadav Prakash heard that Ramanujara had become big Acharya, that he couldn't kill him. And he was preaching everywhere. Then he told the Chol Raja, call him here for a scriptural debate. And then anyone who loses will have to commit suicide. So say, I couldn't kill him before. Now Ramanujara will come there, challenge him for a debate. And then when I defeat him, then we'll take him on top of the mountain, pluck his eyes out and throw him down. Then his guru's order, so the Raja, the king called him. So then Kureshi was there. He said, Guruji, you don't go. You give me the sannyas rays, dandaka mandalu, and then I'll go there. So it's Kureshavasi. Once Ramanacharya, he saw the Mahavadis, they had taken all the Vaishnava scriptures and they burnt them or they had hidden them somewhere. And in Kashmir, the Mahavadis were staying there. In Kashmir, there was this Buddha in Bhashya. They had hid that Bhashya somewhere. So Ramanacharya took Kuresh and he went there to Kashmir. And there, they saw this Buddha and Bhashya in the library. He read all the books there. And when they got this Buddha and Bhashya, then they took their Buddha and Bhashya and they left in the middle of the night. Then Mahavadis found out that, oh, the sadhu has come. He has taken, follow him. And they started following him. Then they stole this Buddha and Bhashya. And Ramanacharya became very sad. Then Guru said, Gurudev, why are you so sad? He said, oh no, they stolen our Granthas. He said, don't worry. When you would rest during the night, then I committed to memory everything that I read. Now, I'll dictate everything as I've read and you write it down. And you see, he was writing the Buddha and Bhashya and Kuresh was, his disciple was saying everything. So today when they called for the Shastrata, Kuresh said, I'll go there. You stay here. He went there then. And the Chol Raja, there's only hills there. So then there was a big hill. And all the Shaivas, they were there. And then they engaged in argument. The Kuresh defeated all of them. But still the king started clapping his hands and he said, Kuresh is defeated now. And then take his eyes out now. Then they removed both his eyes out. And then they threw him down from top of the mountain, top of the hill. But still, what could they do to Kuresh? Kuresh, he fell. But there's some Adivasis. Some sadhu has come, some tribal people. Then these tribal people, they saw he didn't have his eyes. So then anyhow, they protected him. Meanwhile, Acharya Ramanuja, preaching everywhere, he came there. Then Kuresh had become blind when he came to meet his Guru. And what did Guruji do? Ramanacharya gave his divine vision. And the vision that he had before was nothing compared to this Divya Drishti Ramanacharya had bestowed upon him. This transcendental vision. And that very lady who this Brahmaraksha had got, then the same king called Yadav Prakash. She said, this lady said, oh, this Yadav Prakash is a Mayavadi. He's saying, I'll kill him now. And she jumped at him. She kill him now. And then she caught hold of Yadav Prakash and she threw him out somewhere. He said, before he was a lizard. And now he's become the Guru of the Mayavadis. So they say, he said, how can you be delivered? Then he said, alright, go and call Acharya Ramanuj. He is a Vaishnava Acharya. This Brahmaraksha said, wash his feet, give me the Chanamrit, then I'll leave this young girl, this princess. And I'll leave. Then I'll also be delivered. Because eating the remnants of these Mahavadis, I've become a Brahmaraksha now. And what did the king do? Then he called Ramanacharya. And then he did his Charanabhishek. And this Brahmaraksha, he was given the Chanamrit of Ramanacharya. This Brahmaraksha, being very happy, he left. So since then, the king was no longer opposed. Then he became favorable. Then in Yadav Prakash, his entire body, he started getting leprosy. Then his mother said, oh son, you've done such great offenses to this boy. This boy was your disciple and you tried killing him. Now just see your condition. Then you tried even killing his other disciple, this Kuresh. Took his eyes out. Now just see how you are. His entire body was suffering some leprosy. So mother was very sad for him. You see, just see such a big Acharya and now you are suffering. Now go and fall at the feet of Ramanacharya. Surrender to him. Become his disciple. Take the diksha from him. Then you'll be forgiven. So then he came there. Now his entire hands and legs had melted. His bones were like coming out, pus was seen, blood was coming out. Then Ramanacharya, he said, he gave him the Charanamrita of Ranganath. He gave him the Uchishta of Ranganath, the remnants of Ranganath, and then he made him beautiful again. Then he took Diksha again, then he also took sannyas from Vaishnava, he became Vaishnava sannyasi. Because Ramanacharya, then he became his sevak. So Ramanacharya, after making all temples, everything was ready. And his preaching was going on nicely. Thousands of books were published. And he's in Tirupati, he made a golden temple there. Everywhere, he made such huge temples for his Prabhu. This is Divyadesham. Boga, everything was offered in such nice ways. Yes, sevaks, everything. So these three main disciples, he called all of them. And he said, you come with me. He said, where? Then they came. Then he took the three of them in the middle of the ocean. And then he said, no, I'm offering you to the ocean. And you see how the Guru is. He took the three disciples and he drowned all of them in the ocean there. Told them to jump inside the ocean. And then he left. And just see how the disciples are and see how the Guru is. Did they ever say anything like, oh no, no, we won't jump inside? And then Ramanacharya, when he returned, he had thousands of Dikshit disciples, lakhs of them, the entire country. He had one lady disciple. She was given in marriage to someone very far away. So her in-laws would trouble her so much. Every day they would tell her, go bring this water. Then do this, do that. The whole day they'd make her work. Wash clothes, cooking, everything. But she couldn't do anything and they'd beat her. Or else you bring your father, tell your father to bring some, send some servant here. Then they say, it is not like before that the lady will just leave her in-laws or that she'll divorce her husband, not like this. Previously there was very strong rules and regulations. You see, if she leave her in-laws, then no one would keep her inside the house. So the lady was now thinking, my father can't do anything. So then she came to Guruji. He gave me Diksha, Mala Mantra. They never let me chant. They never let me chant my Dikshit Mantras. They only beat me day and night. Tell me to cook, to massage them, bring water, wash their clothes, serve the cows. Say, please kindly help me. Give me shelter, Guruji. So then I said, all right, you tell your father. They said, tell your father to give us a servant. Then Ramanujaya said, all right, don't worry. Then he had like his most dear sevak. He called him and he said, go with this lady and go and serve her entire family. Every day you'll have to wash pots, bring water from the pond, massage their feet, wash clothes, cook for them, do everything for this lady. Then he said, all right. Then he went there. And now, they won't even give him food to eat. And whatever remnants were left on their plates, they collect all those remnants and give him a little to eat. Then this way, then he'd wash everyone's clothes, cook for everyone. So then meanwhile, many years passed this way. So then when Mayavadi Guru, he came there. From Shankaracharya's line, he came there. So he came there near this village. There was a huge religious assembly. And there he was speaking. And then he was bringing water, this disciple Ramanacharya. He had two pots on his head, two pots on each of his shoulders. And then there also there was a bamboo stick, and then they tie pots at the two ends of the bamboo rod. So he had to bring many pots of water from nearby well. So there he heard this disciple of Shankaracharya, this Mayavadi speaking. Then he heard, and he kept all those pots of water down. Then he said, in a very humble way, he said, you have spoken so much, but if you desire, then can I question you? So it was a religious assembly. So anyone could ask a question. So when he said this, then or not another, he cut all the arguments of the Mayavadi. There all the people there in the assembly, they think, who is this man? You just think he's a house servant. He doesn't even have proper clothes to wear. He's carrying so many pots of water, and just see, he defeated the scholar. Pure Sanskrit. And even the in-laws of this Mataji were also present there. He said, who did you call here? He's not some ordinary man. He's a big scholar. He said, what can I do? You're always abusing me so much, beating me. I called my Guruji, and Guruji gave one of his own disciples to help us. Then they said, oh, we've given you remnants. We've done so many things to you. Then they all came and fell at the feet of Ramanuja. And they asked for forgiveness. And then they said, that your dharma, you always trouble the ladies from other homes so much. So then he said, you shouldn't do this way. You shouldn't do like this. Then they became the surrendered servants, Ramanacharya. And then they even took initiation from him. And when Ramanacharya was preaching, he went to one place. There he saw he had a very wealthy disciple. And then he sent some sevaks there. Because there he didn't travel with like 100 devotees. He will not go alone. Where he'd go, that like do such like thunderous kirtan. And then he told his sevaks, go tell that wealthy man that Guruji has come. Then when he saw these sevaks, he became very happy. They went inside and started making all arrangements for Guruji. But he didn't come out and he didn't receive the other god brothers. They were waiting for him out. And they were also ready. Then he forgot that my god brothers are waiting outside. I'll have to. They were so happy. Then Ramanacharya came that he forgot that his god was waiting outside. He went to the bazaar, he got vegetables, he got garlands, he put the asan down. But he didn't realize they were still waiting for him out. Then he came to Ramanacharya, oh, Guruji. He went inside, became very happy, but he hasn't come. I said, don't worry. Alright, we have another disciple. We'll go there to his house. And Ramanacharya, he came to that devotee's house. And there he saw. There was a hut there, straw hut. And then he told the sevaks. And they said, Guruji has come. And they are very poor. This Brahman, Brahmani. And this is when Brahman got Bhiksha, the Brahmani didn't have any clothes to wear also. She wear some rags, old torn cloth. And they say, this mantra that the Guru had given, should be chanting this Guru mantra. And she'd be weeping. So when she heard Guruji had come, she said, how could she even come? She didn't have cloth to cover her body. And Ramacharya gave his own cloth. This one cloth. And then she put that cloth around her and she came and offered pranam to Guruji. And she put some old cloth as an asan for the disciples of Ramacharya and Ramacharya himself. And they said they started doing kirtan inside. And what did she do? There she saw that nearby there was one merchant. This merchant, he would always make very lewd advances towards her, saying, oh, your husband, he cannot even he look after you properly. You stay with me, I'll make you a queen. But she never even look at the face of this man. Then today she herself went to this man and she said, all right, my Guru Maharaj has come, can you arrange some things for him? The food, pots, everything. And then I'm ready to listen to you. But just give me this wealth that I need. Then she immediately sent all his followers, his servants, and he said, bring all the food that you can. Wood, ghee, everything. And then they made a big feast for Ramanacharya and offered bhoga. And they offered prasad. Then offering this prasad, Ramanacharya said, I know everything, he said. And he said, here, you take these remnants of mine, and then you give it to that merchant. And then, meanwhile, this other person came, the other disciple Ramanacharya, and he fell at the feet of Ramanacharya. He said, oh Guruji, I've done this aparad. I became so absorbed in preparing everything for you that I forgot my God was waiting outside. Oh, I have to commit such a great mistake. Then he took Ramacharya and he went away. And then they stayed the night there in his house. So in the night, it was raining so much. So then the husband, he said, how did you serve Guruji so much? So he said, this is what I did. I cannot speak lies. This merchant, he was troubling me so much, many days now, many years. So I myself went to him, and he said, no, you can do what you wish. Just give me all the things I need for my Guruji's seva. And he's given everything. About Bhava, this Prasad, Guruji also honored. And he got the blessings also. And he said, just give him this Mahaprasad. And there it was raining so much. And then this person, he was coming inside out. So he's been inside his house and then outside, waiting for the lady. Because you see, he was in the mode of ignorance. He was bogi, he was. He only wanted to enjoy her. So then he was strolling. When is she going to come? And he said, how did you come here? My husband has left me here. Then he said, didn't you become wet? Then she said, no. Anyhow, I covered myself with some cloth. Then she said, here. I offered nice boga for Guruji. Here, take the samaj remnants. So then he saw how fragrant the Mahaprasad was. And as for seeing the Mahaprasad, eating the Mahaprasad, honoring the Mahaprasad, what happened? He became mad then. He said, take me to your Guruji. I want to have his darshan. No, I will go to your Guru Maharaj. And then they brought him there. And then you see, he was such a tamasi person. He was a worm in hell. He was a hellish worm. But now he forgot everything. And then he changed so much that very difficult to find a person like him in this entire universe. He became such a great devotee. Ramacharya gave him Namdiksha and he sent him away. And what happened to the Brahmani? Then just as Krishna made this Sudama Puri for Sudama, he took little chipped rice. And even now if you see, if you go now, you can see this deity of this Brahmin. There's a very nice temple that dedicated this Brahmin. This area, what happened to the Paniya? He gave his entire wealth to Ramacharya, this merchant. He took sannyas from Ramacharya and he said, just keep me with you. I don't want any of this wealth. This wealth polluted my mind so much. So he gave everything away to Ramacharya. So therefore even now, by his mercy, this thousands of people are being fed every day. No objection. You see, 1,000 years now. This massage. Now you see, they even made 250 feet. Deity of Ramacharya, this Chinnajir Swami. You see, he made 250 feet. And the Prime Minister, he went there, he spoke 1 hour. You see that place. And they made very nice deity of Ramacharya. So only Ramanucharya, he made all temples of Vishnu. So in one temple, he was with his disciples. And every day he took Kathakirtan there. And in the evening, Aarti will be taking place there. So there is Angunda there. And what is his name? His name was Dhanurdhar. He became so attached to a prostitute that the lady should be coming inside to have darshan of Ranganath, and then she'd be standing around of Ranganath, and then he'd show his back to Ranganath and he'd only be looking at her face, and they'd tell him, oh, move out. He said, oh, why are you looking at this deity made of stone? You just look at this lady, how beautiful she is. You look at her, see how beautiful she is, and why are you looking at this deity? So, and they couldn't even make him move because it was a gunda. You say something, then you start beating the other person. So Ramanacharya, he came meanwhile and he said, my son, come here. But still he won't move. Then he told the prostitute, would you come this way? And then he came there. Wherever the lady would go, he'd go there. They said he'd only be following her. He'd be looking at her face the whole time. Without looking at her, he couldn't remain alive. He'd only be looking at her the whole time. Then he said, oh, you see, the temple is going to open. He said, oh, why do I have to look at this Pathar Murthy, this deity made of stone? Then he put his hand on his head. He said, no, see. And what happened? As soon as he received touch of Ramanujara's hand, he forgot the lady now. Now he became mad. Now he was crying in front of Ranganath. Now his hand was on his head. His hand bestows fearlessness, fulfillment of all desires, gives. So every day when Ramanujara would bathe there in the Kaveri, there he'd go with the Brahmanas, would be doing stavasati the whole way. And then when they'd bathe in the Kaveri, then he, what would he do? He would always keep his hand on Dhanurdhar's shoulder. He'd walk to the Kaveri with keeping his hand, and then he also, when he turned to the temple, he'd keep his hand on his shoulder. And then the Brahmins are thinking, with thousands of sannyasis and he's keeping his hand on this person, he's a gunda who's attached to a prostitute, and he's keeping his hand on his shoulder, and this way he's insulting us. He comes with us and then he leaves with him. So they're saying, we'll not leave this Dhanurdhar. Then Ramanujara, he said one day, he told Dhanurdhar, he said, you see all these sannyasis are resting. You take their dour kopins and you go hide it somewhere. You take the Rajmanya cups and the Tilak Mala and just go put it here and there. So when they woke up in the morning, they start shouting, well, who's taken my kopin? Who's taken my Rajmanya? Oh, then they said, they start fighting with each other. Why you take my kopin? Since Ramanujara, he called and he said, why are you fighting? He said, oh, you took my kopin away. Then he said, the kopin is just a small piece of cloth and you're fighting for this. Then why are you fighting then? Then on the same night, Dhanurdhari was massaging Ramanujara's feet. Then he called his disciples, sannyasis, go to Dhanurdhara's house. And there you see, get all the gold that you can from his house. And then I'll keep all that gold with me. And I'll say, I will not let you be. So go bring as much gold as you can. Then they, what did they do? They anyhow made a hole through the house and they took everything away. And this lady, this prostitute, had become his wife now. And she had gold and ornaments all over. Even now, if in South India, if you go, ladies, they cover themselves with gold. There they are. You see, there they cover themselves with gold completely. Then she was thinking, okay, my godbrothers have come. So they're trying to take her jewels away. Then what does she do? She was sleeping on one side. So then they've taken everything from her right hand. Then she put her left hand forward. She stretched it forward. Here, take all these jewels away. But then they thought that she was awake now. So then ran away. They said, Guruji, we bought everything from her house. From their house. Everything. All the gold that we could find. And everyone said, all right. We said, Dhanurdhara, you go now. So Dhanurdhara, he didn't know what happened. So then they all followed Dhanurdhara from behind. And there, this lady, she told Dhanurdhara, oh, maybe our Guruji needed some wealth. My godbrothers came and took everything. They took pots away also. And you see, they took my gold, everything from one hand. Some gold remained on one hand. I stretched that hand out also. But they didn't take that. Then Dhanurdhara said, why did you do that? Now go give this remaining gold also. Then she said, should I go tomorrow? He said, no, go immediately now and give it. And all the godbrothers were listening to the conversation between husband and wife. So then Ramanujara, he asked the sannyasis. They said, oh, Guruji, maybe needed something. The godbrothers come and taken everything away. So he said, take these gold away also, these jewels away also. Then he said, just see, your sannyasis, and for this kopin which measures 4 fingers long, you're fighting so much. So who's more exalted, you or them? Whose mind is more pure, yours or theirs? Who's more surrendered, you or them? So then they became silent and they never complained about Dhanurdhara again. So Ramacharya's life and his specialities is indescribable. Just as his name was Lakshman Desik and he became Acharya Ramanuj. And what did he do? Last time he made so many disciples. So then he made one deity of his. Near the Srinagam temple, he made one deity of his. He made it by his own hands. He said, whatever question you have, if you do kirtan and pray to this deity of mine, then this deity will give all the answers to your questions. And whatever problem you have, all these problems will be rectified. When you go preaching, then everyone will come to the deity of Ramanacharya. And meanwhile, Yamunacharya's deity was, when he went to bathe in the Kaveri, he saw the deity of Yamunacharya floating there on a lotus flower. And how was this deity? A deity made of gold. See, the Kaveri is very long and wide. The water is so beautiful there. You won't find water more sweet than the water of the Kaveri. So then he took his Guru Maharaj in his lap. And then he established the deity of Yamunacharya there in Srirangam, right near the temple of Ranganath. And there you can find the deities of Ramacharya and Yamunacharya, both the deities. So tomorrow is Bhaimi Ekadashi. Then the next day is Varadvadashi. And then Nityanantrayadashi. So you cannot do Vrata for 3 days. So you follow Vrata for Ekadashi. And Varadev, you do Archan and do Paran. Varadev will not say anything. But you'll have to follow Nityanantrayadashi. Or else then you'll get Jadananda or Mokshananda, Brahmananda. You won't get Nityananda then. So you'll have to follow Ekadashi and Nityanantrayadashi. So some, they follow the three in one tithi. But no, you'll have to follow this Nityananda Rose Vrata as well. Therefore, tomorrow is Ekadashi. Then do Varadev's Archan, take Charanamrit, and then Antaradashi is Nityananda Rose, Abhishek, Havan, and Bogra Kirtan. Then Nityananda Rose Mercy will be had. Now stop now. Re-re-po.
Kripa Koro Vaishnava.